In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is in our midst.
He is in our body.
Imagine for a moment, if you can, committing a sin so publicly that it becomes synonymous with your very own name. We all know several examples of this. Judas, for example. When you hear Judas, you think immediately of betrayal. When you hear names sort of like Hatfield and McCoy, what comes to your mind? Family feuds. It's become part of our national lexicon. This very thing happened also to a general in the Continental Army back in the early days of the fledgling United States of America. This general had a moderately successful and distinguished career, but he was passed over. He was passed over for a promotion that he felt he deserved, and he became very bitter about that. He hoped that he would rise up in the newly formed Continental Congress. But he was passed over instead, and he was appointed as to another distinguished post, actually, but he felt it was lesser than he deserved, the post of heading the new West Point Academy. And because of his bitterness, the bitterness that he felt in his heart at being passed over and overlooked, he began to plot. He began a plot to relinquish hold of West Point, that strategic barracks in the United States Army, to the British Army, who we were still at war with. He began to plot to turn it over and to surrender it to the British. And as his plot became more intricate, it leaked out, as things in Washington do still to this day. His plot leaked out, and he was found out, and he had to flee. He had to flee all the way to Canada, where he joined the British Army and became a general and received commission in the British Army. His name, anybody know his name? Benedict Arnold. Benedict Arnold, the name is synonymous today with the word traitor. Nobody whose last name is Arnold will ever name their child Benedict in this country. You don't see many people named Judas either. So because of that, it has become part. His sin was so well known that it was known to everyone, and there was no place for him in that society at all. And today's gospel is about just such a traitor. Zacchaeus was a traitor. But he was given a second chance by Jesus Christ, by this chance meeting with Jesus Christ in the gospel today. And because the gospel simply says that the people were upset with Jesus because he entered into the house of a sinner, maybe that sounds a little too blasé for us. We don't quite realize the extent of Zacchaeus' sin. St. John of San Francisco wrote for what was for him a pretty long sermon explaining exactly what it meant to be a publican as Zacchaeus was. And I'm going to tell you a little bit of what he says. He said that to be a publican, of course, we know was to be a tax collector. To be someone who raised taxes and collected taxes for the Roman government during the New Testament days in Judea. Now the Jews were a very proud and chosen people, but at the time of the Lord's coming, they were under a foreign domination. They were under the Roman Empire. They were a subject. They were basically second-class citizens, a little bit above slaves. And like all subjugated peoples, they were forced to pay a tribute to their enslavers. And this upset them greatly. We Americans understand that because our whole nation was built upon the phrase taxation without representation we will not endure. So we understand a little bit of what the Jews were going through, but it was much, much worse for them because they had no recourse at all. Prior to the year 6 AD, they still had to pay the tribute to Rome, but they had to pay it through their own local rulers, the regents of Rome, so to say, like their local kings, people who were amongst themselves. King Herod was one of those kings. Herod Agrippa and his son Agrippa. They were those local kings that had been allowed by the Romans to still rule and make the people feel like they still had their own rulers. But in the year 6 AD, all this changed. They still had those rulers because we know Herod was alive when Christ was born. But instead of having the rulers themselves collect these taxes, the Romans instituted a system of procurators to administer these enslaved lands. Pontius Pilate was one of those procurators. And the procurators instituted the office of publican in order to collect these taxes. They chose people from among the local people. They chose Jews to do this job for them. And to accept this position as a Jew was to immediately become a moral outcast in their own society. St. John of San Francisco said that when you accepted this position, you were involved in both a national betrayal and a religious betrayal. Because a publican, first of all, had to take an oath to the emperor. So that was a national betrayal. But then they also had to go on and make a sacrifice to the emperor as a divine being. And that, St. John said, was a religious betrayal. They became a tool for enslavement of their own divinely chosen people to the pagan Romans. It was a terrible thing, and they became outcasts. Now, they had a quota to meet of taxes. And once they met that quota, there was nothing at all to keep them from extorting more for themselves, and that's what they did, and they lined their own pockets and became rich off of the suffering of their own brethren. The publicans were held in scorn and contempt by their own people for very good reason. And like Benedict Arnold, they betrayed their own people and became a servant for the masters over their own enslaved people. Zacchaeus was just that sort of man. He was a Jew who had turned his back on his own people and become a servant of the oppressors. This was probably the worst thing that could be done in the eyes of his own people. So when the Gospels today said that the people were upset with Jesus for going into the house of a sinner, they weren't just talking about an ordinary sinner. They were talking about a public sinner, someone who had publicly betrayed his own people and was despised. But today's Gospel is all about second chances. And even though he was a traitor, Zacchaeus was, as Jesus said in the Gospel, a son of Abraham, one of the chosen people. Even though he had turned his back and rejected the faith of his fathers, he was still a son of Abraham. And therefore there was the tiniest of little sparks still alive within his cold and hardened heart. And when he heard that Jesus was passing through Jericho, this man whom we heard in the Gospel last week in that very town had healed a man who had been blind from birth, he desired to see Christ. Over this next several weeks in the church, we enter into what is called the pre-Lenten period. And each one of these next 4 weeks, the church offers unto us a theme to help prepare us as we enter into Great Lent and as we begin to seek to try to live a more Christian life, to give up things, to turn our lives and focus it more on Jesus Christ and grow in godliness. The theme that today's Gospel gives us can be summed up in one word: desire. The first step in a spiritual life and growing to see God is to want. You have to desire it. It's that simple. And in the midst of all his public sins and all his scorn and his being as an outcast, Zacchaeus had a desire to see the Messiah. And this wasn't simply a desire to ingratiate himself, because if Jesus was really the Messiah that the Jews were expecting, he was going to be a military leader, a king. He was going to overthrow the Roman government. Therefore, Zacchaeus was going to be in trouble. He was going to lose everything that he had built up by his own betrayal. But still, he had a desire deep within his heart just to see, simply to see, this man who may or may not be the Messiah. So he sees him. Jesus passes along, and he sees him up there in that tree, looking so ridiculous, a grown man climbing up in a tree, a man of that stature, and a man of that large office that he had, climbing up in a tree, looking rather foolish, and his eyes meet Zacchaeus just as his eyes met Peter, and something changed. St. John of San Francisco very beautifully says that the eyes of this great sinner, this leader of betrayers and a traitor, meet the eyes of the Holy One of Israel, Christ the Messiah, the Son of God. And St. John goes on to say that Jesus sees that which is inaccessible to the indifferent and hostile glances of everybody else who's looking on that day. He saw more in Zacchaeus than everyone else saw in Zacchaeus. Thus proving what David says in the Psalms when he says, Shall not God search out these things? For he knows the secrets of the heart. He sees what's on the inside and not what is on the outside. Another Psalm, Psalm 138 in the Septuagint says, Thou, O Lord, hast discerned my thoughts from afar and hast foreseen all my ways. We put up a front, but God sees beyond that front. He sees the glimmer of desire for goodness that was hidden so deep within Zacchaeus' whole cold heart that even himself he did not know it. And he, Christ, offers himself. He offers himself to this sinner, this publican. He offers himself to Zacchaeus. Just like he's going to offer himself to you and me at the end of this liturgy today. Zacchaeus, come down, he says. I need to abide in your house. It is an offer. It's an offer to Zacchaeus. It's not a command. It is an offer. And we, like Zacchaeus, have to say to Christ when he makes that offer to us, we have to say, come in. We must draw near at the offer to come forth at the time of communion. In the fear of God, with faith and love, draw near. It's an offer. It's not a command. But allowing him in is not the end of the story. We see that with Zacchaeus today. When you offer to allow the Lord under the roof of the house of your soul, as one of our communion prayers say, the status quo has to change. Things can't go on like they were before. Our faith and our works have to go together. And Zacchaeus proves this today. Zacchaeus both repents and he restores. He returns what he has stolen, and then he goes even farther, the gospel says, and gives one half of his goods to the poor. We see by this that after accepting Christ to come under his house, after returning the things that he stole, and after offering good works and alms to the poor, then, and only then, does Christ say to him the words that we all long to hear. Today, salvation has come to this house. St. Peter Chrysologus, which means Peter the Golden Words. Chrysostom means golden tongue. Chrysologus means golden words. St. Peter Chrysologus was a 5th century bishop in Ravenna, in Italy, southern Italy. And he had this to say so beautifully about today's gospel, about Zacchaeus. He says, this inhuman rich man, although a son of Abraham, became a son of Gehenna. But now this man, who though he was a son of robbery, by distributing his goods to the poor, has once again become a son of Abraham, a son of God. By abandoning the fraudulent riches of this world, he found true riches in the poverty of Christ. Salvation came to his house, and Zacchaeus became a follower of Christ. He became a disciple of Christ. He's listed as one of the 70 disciples. He became a follower of St. Peter. He changed his whole life. The story didn't just end in the gospel today. He changed his whole life. He became a follower of St. Peter, and he was appointed the first bishop of Caesarea in Palestine. I saw a video on YouTube some time ago about the Antiochian church in America, and there's a family somewhere in America who claims to be direct descendants of Zacchaeus from Palestine. I mean, they have that lineage going all the way back to Zacchaeus, the first bishop of Palestine. St. Clement of Rome tells us in one of his writings that Zacchaeus followed Peter all the way to Rome, and there they both were martyred under the Emperor Nero. When we end the Matin service, those of you who are here this morning, we sing one of two little troparia. We didn't sing it this one today. We sang another one. But the one that we sing on the other day goes like this. It comes based on the words of Christ to Zacchaeus today. It says, today salvation has come to the world. Let us sing praises to him who rose from the dead, the author of our life. He has destroyed death by death and has granted unto us victory and great mercy. Zacchaeus received great mercy because of his desire to see God. St. Nicholas of Zicha tells us that we too are houses which are filled with sin, just like Zacchaeus, yet we can receive salvation when Christ draws near unto us. Seek the Lord, he says, quoting the psalm. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Draw to him while he is still near. May we too, like Zacchaeus, desire to see Christ with all our heart, so that we too, like him, may receive mercy and victory and hear the wonderful words of Christ. Today, salvation has come to thy house. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.